I'm going to read the first verse of one of my favorite songs to you. I want you to concentrate on what is being said. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Now, oftentimes when we think of things, we may not categorize people in there, but things, I think, as the Lord indicates in the New Testament, include family. So the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. We can't grab a hold of anything in this world and never let go. Even family can disappear without us wanting it to happen. Now, in Christ's ministry, he also told us that he who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so we are reminded that although we are to love family, we have to have Christ first in our lives. And that our children, as much as we love them, are just borrowed. And that at some point, we get the chance to teach them and shape them and try to mold them into the people that we would hope them to be. But then at some point, we have to turn them loose into the wild, into the world. And how difficult it is for those parents who lose their children prematurely and don't even get the chance to have to go through the heartache of having an empty nest syndrome. But we have to try and be glad for the blessings as they come, regardless of the time that we have them. Have you ever thought about how difficult it would be to want a child so bad that you would vow to give him back to God when you weaned him? If you'd like to turn with me to 1 Samuel, the first chapter, we have one of the stories that's one of my favorites. A lot of personal stories of individuals that lived in the Old Testament times. And the struggles that they had seemed to be so much more than what we have with the modern medicine that we have in our day. And in this story of Samuel's mother and her desire to be a mother, the agony that she went through before she was able to get to that point. We're going to read some here in this first chapter of just what it was. It wasn't... We are used to thinking of husband and wife and the way that we are familiar with it here. But at the time of Hannah, she had competition. She had, her husband had another wife, and her and this other wife was able to have children and Hannah wasn't. And this other wife tortured her about it, rubbed it in her face. In verse 6, it refers to her as her adversary. Provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And year by year, as Hannah's husband went up for sacrifice, he always gave Hannah more than he did his other wife and children because he loved her and realized her fate. In verse 9, we find one year that Hannah is so distraught over this that she rose up and Eli the priest was outside the temple. And she was in such bitterness of soul that she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thee to thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And he chastised her, saying, How long wilt thou be drunk? Put away thy wine from thee. And she explained her fate to Eli, that her situation, that it was of her soul that she was pouring out to the Lord and asking mercy from the Lord that she might be able to be a mother to a son, and that she would return this favor by giving him back to service to the Lord. And I can't imagine being in this state. A child is not very old when they're weaned. That this person was so distraught that they were willing, if they could just have a child, they would give him back at the age of weaning. And the Lord heard her request, and he granted it. So we know, and Samuel became one of the strongest leaders of Israel. And when you go to chapter 2, you read then how this mother had turned her child over to Eli for the rest of his life, and that she wrote out all these notes of praise in chapter 2, how the Lord had honored her request, and how grateful she was for that. And these moments such as this, I like to call hallelujah moments. And if we think back about what is the meaning of hallelujah, praise be to God, praise the Lord. And so when somebody says hallelujah, it is a moment of gratefulness. And Drew and Rodney learned this year, working with me, that when we got on difficult or undesirable jobs, and that job was done, we got to the end of that day, and I said, hallelujah. And I said, this is a hallelujah moment. And so we had several hallelujah moments during the course of the summer. And hopefully we can learn to think in that regard, that when something good happens, that we are able to persevere through hardship, or whether the Lord has blessed us in some other way, that we can perhaps work that into our vocabulary, our habit of giving God the glory for what has just happened. There are some days that became hallelujah moments when we just made it through the day safely, and we were grateful for that. You know, another word along with hallelujah that has a meaning that perhaps we underutilize is the word amen. As we have public prayers offered here, I'm sure in our private prayers we always say amen to the Lord, but we probably do it more so quietly, as Hannah did in her heart when public prayers are offered. But oftentimes when something was said up front and you agreed with it, amen was, so be it. I agree. I approve of what you just said. And there would be people yell out amen during the course of a lesson or something that took place. But the world seems as though it is the habit of using God's name only when it wants to use God's name in vain. When the world wants to curse things or to curse other people, then they remember the name of the Lord. So why don't we as Christians challenge ourselves to develop a better habit of praising God with his name through the course of our daily lives when things go right? The positive things in life, and even the little things in life. And it doesn't have to be hallelujah. It can be merely saying, "Thank you, Lord." When I'm driving and pulling heavy equipment down the road, there's days that it gets very concerning because of the way people navigate around you quicker, and you can't respond as quick as they do. And sometimes when you get to the end of your ride and you're pulling 70,000 pounds down the road, it gets to where you get so tense by the time you get to the end to where you're going that you say, "Thank you, Lord, for this trip being over." And some days you thank the Lord just for having a green light stay green. But if we can change our mindset of having the world's antagonizing factors stir up our tempers to where we may misrepresent the Lord because of having emotions out of control, and change our mindset to, as Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, all these different things that are good, think on these things, that it might change your total mindset for the day and not the tensions that the world and the daily life creates. So how long has it been since you said hallelujah? How long has it been since you went through the daily grind of daily life and said, "Thank you, Lord, for something that just happened"? Number 17 in the red book. You get to utilize both these words, hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. It's not that we haven't been told it before, but sometimes we do need a revival, a reminder, to be grateful for the simple things in life. So I challenge you today to go through this whole week without thinking of a moment when you couldn't say, "Thank you, Lord." You don't have to be around somebody else. Say hallelujah and develop a new habit. Praise be to God. You remembered me. And if you want to toughen up and be heard and bear witness, I'd also invite you to be reminded of what song number 520 says. I'm not ashamed to own that Jesus came and died on Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm not ashamed. If Christ is first in your life, this shouldn't be a hard habit to develop, praising God through the course of a normal day. The Lord told us in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, that if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Develop enough backbone to let it be known publicly that you praise God, that you give Him the glory when things go right, that you're not ashamed that He is in your life. I would much rather be accused of giving God too much credit than not thanking Him enough. So I hope that I can go through every day of my life, that I can find a moment, whether I say it under my breath or if I say it out loud, that I can either say, "Thank you, Lord," "Hallelujah," or "Praise be to God." I'm not ashamed to say any. I'm grateful for when the Lord has remembered me. And when the children of Israel got oppressed, that was oftentimes the time they turned back to God and they cried for mercy. And if you've ever known anyone that the only time you ever see them is when they want something from you, it's the only time they call. Maybe we could relate to how God feels when the only time we pray is when we want something. Wouldn't it be nice, from the Lord's point of view, if we had just as many prayers offered with the excitement of being thankful, giving Him thanks, as prayers that we offer asking Him for something to be granted into our life? So we can be a blessing to the Lord as well as to ourselves if we remember to not just turn to the Lord in prayer in times of need, but that we do it daily, because every day is a blessing. And every day is a day we need to say thanks. In Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 12 through 18, we are given the story about 10 lepers. And all 10 of these lepers were healed of their leprosy. And we've talked about this before. Of those 10 lepers, with a disease that caused them to go into confinement, they couldn't be mixed with other people because they were so contagious, only one went back to say thank you. To say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And Jesus said, what happened to the other 9? Weren't there 10 to begin with? So maybe it is something that we have to work at to make it a habit. It seems like people easily develop bad habits of picking up language we shouldn't use. Let's pick up a good habit of working thanks into to the Lord on a regular basis throughout our normal day. The Bible reminds us in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 3 and 4, that before we can approach the Lord, we have to humble ourselves as these little children. And oftentimes when men are put on a pedestal with success in life, whether it be publicly being a good businessman and becoming rich, or whether you're a great athlete and you're revered because of your skills, when men are put on a pedestal, so many times it changes them as men and how they look upon themselves as being better than others. I think about this sometimes when I work for people that have gained some kind of publicity. Some of them handle it well and some don't. And it makes no difference to me when I work for a person whether they are famous or not. I just think to myself, that man has to answer to God the same way I do. And his fame will mean nothing to the Lord. And the only thing that really matters at the end is what you've done with your life. Did you give God the glory? These men that are put on pedestals, you see some of them give God the glory, and some fail to do so and begin to look at themselves and say, look at me. A man that I'm working for right now, he's inherited a Century Farm. If you don't know what a Century Farm is, it's a farm here that has been in the same family for over 100 years. And I've done some demolition work for him, but he has a giant two-story farmhouse that hasn't been lived in for 20 years. And his great-grandfather built that house in 1895. And Rodney and Drew helped me take down the buildings, and we're going to move that house back 100 and some feet. We're digging him a new basement right now. And if you've ever seen an abstract for a piece of ground, you know that an abstract shows title. And I was thinking about this last night, that basically an abstract in man's eyes shows possession, but it is only for a period of time. And it made me think of this song, number 290, that the things that we have that are dear to our heart are just borrowed, they're not ours at all. Well, the abstract, I think, just shows who's borrowing that piece of ground, who's borrowing that farm from God for that period of time. because nobody holds on to it forever. And this man's great-grandfather that built this house, he built this house as a wedding present to his new bride. And this man is now buried out back by the machine shed. So there's a cemetery right on the farm for those that have lived before and have passed it on. And time goes by fast, as the Bible reminds us, as a vapor. And we read the life stories in the Old Testament, how men rise and fall so rapidly and their life is over. And when this man built this house back in 1895, there was a walnut tree that we park our truck under that I would guess was there when the Civil War took place. It has to be at least 150 years old for the diameter that it is. And how interesting it is to think of the vapors that have gone by on that century farm. That walnut tree has seen go by the number of lives. Last month, I just turned 55. I used to think that was an old codger. And my brother-in-law come up and told me and affirmed that I am an old codger. And he likes to tell me that every time he sees me. And so I was trying to think back when I was a teenager and all the vapors that have sat in these seats that appeared here for a time and have now vanished away. Who would have been 55 when I was a teenager? And I thought about this lady over here. And I'm pretty sure Audrey would have been 55 when I was a teenager. And it's gone by fast. It doesn't seem like it should have been that long ago. So it's true. We are living on borrowed time. Just like the song said, everything that we have in our lives is borrowed. They are blessings that are loaned to us to see what we will do with them. Do we praise God for them? Or do we use them to His demise? So if we are living on borrowed time, what does it mean? Means that someone or something is not going to be here much longer. Something is almost wore out. The time is short before something big is going to happen. Out of our control that will cause change. Ready or not. And so we never know when our vapor will vanish. And so that time, that vapor is here. It's important that we remember to give God the glory. That we remember when we have hallelujah moments, that we acknowledge to God that we see it. We see that blessing and that we're grateful for it when it happens. Have you ever thought about what would have happened, how the verses would have been written different in Exodus, the 17th chapter, when Moses struck the rock and said, "Hear ye rebels, must we fetch ye water out of this rock?" If Moses would have said, "Say hallelujah, people, the Lord has provided water for us to drink." And Moses would have been able to enter into the Canaan land. That one mistake that Moses made in not giving God the glory kept him out of the promised land. So don't think that you go by unnoticed when the Lord grants you blessings and you fail to give Him the glory. Be reminded that sin is not just doing wrong. It's the failure to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And so when you have opportunity to praise God, don't pass it up. Remember where you came from. I hope this week that you will have several hallelujah moments. And I hope this week that you'll have somebody say something encouraging to where you can say amen. And I hope you'll have a moment where, as you're driving, you can say, thank you, Lord, for helping me get here safely. And I hope the most this week that you will take time to start a new habit and witness to the world that you are grateful to God for the blessings He's put in your life, and that they don't go by unnoticed, and that you won't be guilty as Moses was of failing to give God the glory. Moses was forgiven of that error, but he had a consequence of it. He didn't get to enter into Canaan. So as we close today, I hope that you remember the words in that song in verse in number 17. We praise thee, O Lord. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Revive us again as we stand and as we sing.